Lego Star Wars Returns. Returns to television. We're talking about the Freemaker saga. Rian Johnson marks the halfway point of Episode 8's filming. Mark Hamill talking cool opportunities at Celebration. Daisy Ridley's working out and being awesome. Let's do it.
Falcon flight with destiny.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, welcome, come one, come all. This is the Star Wars Report Podcast. So glad you've joined us. This is episode number 220. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. So glad you've joined us. We've got a great show for you. And joining me, as always, is my good friend and yours, Mr. Mark Thaddeus Herleman the 17th. How's it going, Mark?
I'm King Thaddeus the Henryus the 27th, 17th I am, or something like that, right?
So nailed it. Perfect. It's perfect. Just more of the same. No, thanks so much. Thanks so much for taking the reins last week, Mark. I was out in the midst of finishing up finals. I've got two more tests, but I'm back this week. Fortunately, we're almost done with my final semester as a junior, and I've got one more year.
I was like, yeah, no problem. Then I sat down in the seat, and I was like, wow, oh my gosh, these caves really kicked my butt. And now I've got to fill in for Riley, who's always so energetic. Well, I don't know if I can do this.
I know. You did an outstanding job, sir. And again, also thanks to Nathan Butler, you two from the Beyond the Films, really took over last minute because I wasn't able to get things together. And I appreciate that as always. But like I say, let's not dilly-dally around. We've got a great show for you guys tonight. And it's brought to you by the fine people supporting us at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. It's where we're doing our weekly ongoing Rebels commentary series exclusively for you guys supporting us there. It's our way of thanking you for making this show happen each and every week. If you want to support the show, you can head over to patreon.com/StarWarsReport. That's patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Mark, I'm getting crafty. I've been getting crafty. And not in the evil sense. Well, maybe in the evil sense. But
witchcraft, right?
I've been getting the bug recently. Here's the curse. I looked at Etsy, and that's a problem, sir. Are you familiar with the?
Yes. My wife does Etsy all the time.
It is just this glorious cavern of creative projects and products that you can purchase, and there are a ton of creative Star Wars crafts and artwork and all kinds of, and jewelry, you name it. And so I was getting all inspired. So I was, my sister Bethany, a longtime member of the Star Wars Report family, it was her birthday, many thanks to everybody who wished her a happy birthday on Twitter last week. But I was making I was busy making a Star Wars craft, because you can buy cool Star Wars jewelry and stuff like that, but people already have it. You want something unique. So, like, I'm super, like, proud of myself, because I purchased one of those small paintable jewelry boxes, and I did what I'm calling the abstract R2-D2 theme.
I saw you tweet on that picture. That's what that was for.
Exactly. It was a trial run. I wanted to see if it would work. So I did this sort of abstract art. Of course, Star Wars fans recognize the color scheme immediately. But I did a hand painting of R2-D2 scheme on a jewelry box. And I just felt so, I felt like I was back in middle school. It was great. It was so fun.
And the years shed off.
Exactly. So Anyway, it's I was so excited, so happy that it was that I was able to actually sit down and put in some quality Star Wars craft time. And that was a good time. Good times to be had. Now, that's not the only thing, though. I wanted to touch on that briefly at the outset because I encourage you, if you're a Star Wars creator, there's a reason why the R2 Builders and 501st are such a cool, thriving communities, and that's just because when you make something with your hands and that's connected to your fandom, there's just something really special about that. I'm not going to lie. But we make stuff with our microphones here in our fandom. So there's something else I also wanted to touch on right at the beginning of the program here this week. And that Mark, it may not be cheerful. It may not be too happy. Go lucky.
Wait, what? I thought we weren't talking about the billboard, and that's why me and Nate slipped it in last week.
You did. This is so true. This is so true. No. It's actually. It's interesting. I've noticed something in the intervening weeks after The Force Awakens came out. You know, you have such glorious accolades and fan energy and a unifying, almost universal love of The Force Awakens as it premiered amongst the public. So well received at 95% is what it ended up on Rotten Tomatoes?
Something like that, yeah.
People love The Force Awakens.
But the pessimist people, they don't go to the theaters right away. They wait till it's about to drop on Blu-ray.
That's not a bad theory. That's not a bad theory at all. And now you're seeing the videos. How The Force Awakens should have ended, right? Everything wrong with Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. And
everything wrong with? I haven't seen this
yet. Exactly. The nitpick brigade has arrived. Let me play a brief. I'm going to play a brief sample here from the video that's been making the rounds this week. Everything wrong with the
minutes?
Yeah. Exactly.
That will only account.
So here we go. This is literally almost 20 minutes. Take a listen briefly.
Or dismissed it altogether. It's still scrolling by. Dark shadow of an evil ship gives the finger to an audience hoping not to see a remake of A New Hope. Also, if a Star Destroyer shadow is this large and looming, then it's either super close to this galaxy's sun, or else this is a tiny-ass planet. Or you're just having fun with visuals and don't really care about scale.
So, it's literally just a jump cut, super cut of every single last film school nerd nitpick. That was literally complaining about the about the perspective, the forced perspective of the initial shot in A New Hope, or A New Hope, of blaming it being too much like A New Hope. And what's fascinating to me is I actually went through part of it, and I'm like, half of these aren't even legitimate complaints of flaws of the film. And here's the thing, I'm not going to be too negative overall and maybe slightly. This is, all right, this is Riley's Everything Wrong with Episode 7. Because here's the God's honest truth, folks. When it comes to Star Wars is pop science fiction, pop fantasy with deeply fantastical and mythological roots. It has flaws. Every single film, to different and varying degrees, for different and varying people, the film has flaws. And here's the thing. Great storytelling, I'm not talking about great filmmaking for that matter, but great storytelling in general, it doesn't have to be purely rational and realistic. That's more the realm of Star Trek than Star Wars. And the reason why is because humans aren't rational and they don't make rational choices. And filmmakers happen to be human. Here's the thing, guys. When J.J. Abrams makes a Star Wars film, it's going to have his unique mark. It's going to have his flaws. And here's the thing. There's no film, absolutely no film in the universe that can withstand the sort of super, super nerdy film school geek takedown videos that are popping up everywhere, that are so popular these days. That if the goal is to literally find every possible detail that could be construed as some sort of flaw or mistake in a film, you can do that with every single film. And here's the thing, many of these YouTube channels do, and sometimes they're fun and funny in their own right, but if you, as a Star Wars fan, if you're listening to the Star Wars Report podcast, it's fair to assume that you kind of like this stuff. You actually like Star Wars. There's something about this saga that you connect with. And if the majority of your focus as a fan is nitpicking the flaws about the wrong forced perspective of a certain shot in the film, and that's what you're focusing on, there's something deeply flawed about the way you're going to be able to appreciate the saga as a whole. Because here's the thing, Star Wars, while it is extremely innovative in its filmmaking, I'm not someone who sits down and says that when I first watched A New Hope, I was blown away by its special effects, because I wasn't, because I first saw A New Hope in like 2003. So what was special to me about the film was not its filmmaking abilities or that its superb editing or anything like that. It was a conglomeration of the mythical elements of the film. It was a pure love of the universe that George Lucas created and the characters that we all have grown to love so much, and the way they interact with each other, the sacrifice of the Lars family, the burning of the homestead, Luke dreaming of greater things, meeting his mentor, going off to meet his destiny, a princess from outer space who wore these funny hair buns, talking back at Vader. Like, these are the things about Star Wars that I've come to love over the years, and I often feel like there's this sort of predictable backlash to every element of the Star Wars universe that is bound to be there, but I think it helps to be conscious of the fact that as a Star Wars fan, it's imperative, in my view, of course, IMO, it is imperative to not let that define your fandom, particularly in the age of social media. And sometimes that becomes difficult. And it's fun to be funny, it's fun to be snarky, but if that's the majority of your fan experience online, I feel like it's a loss for what could be. Mark, your thoughts. I've spoken long enough.
Is in a lot of ways you're describing my old roommate.
Yes.
Joey, he does not like anything that's not the original trilogy, and more so because he does this is just his general, way. He doesn't go to movies. He goes and watches films. He likes plays, things like that, but he's very critical. He critiques a lot of stuff. He loves to watch Game of Thrones just to talk about how it differs from it. Same thing with The Walking Dead, so much to the point that he stopped watching The Walking Dead because he didn't like the fact that everything was so different. But like some of his complaints, like with Game of Thrones, His issue with Daenerys is that she's not young enough as the book portrays. I'm like, dude, no, you can't. No, you cannot have a 13-year-old doing that. but he's that way. Like, his favorite films are not the original trilogy. They are the despecialized original trilogy, because he likes at close to the original theatrical presentation. He's one of those fans. And so, he hasn't even watched the new stuff because he has no desire to. And yet, when we do watch other things, he's that way. He ticks it apart, just breaks it apart. And yet he has fun doing it. And his wife and him, that's what they do. They just go and they critique things. And that's their joy. And it got to the point, like, my wife wouldn't watch, like, So You Think You Can Dance, because they watch a lot of dancing stuff too. And they love that show as well. Like, he'll get the Canadian version and the Australian version and things like that. But my wife couldn't watch these shows with him in the same room because he would be, doing what he does, and she would be loving these dances and stuff. She's like, oh, I can't do this. But you're right. That aspect of, for the people that don't live that, right?
Yeah.
When you're looking at that, it just seems like they're upset about everything all the time. But that wasn't really his case, but it definitely killed all the joy out of it for me, because I don't look at things like he does. So yeah. That was, there was that weird, it's funny because everything you described totally reminded me of him. But when I think about this specific video with MovieSyn and stuff, and you mentioned it before, you know, this is exactly what they're doing. I look at this channel like a comic skit. You know, each week they're going to have a new topic and they're going to do the same thing. They're going to pick it apart. And sometimes they are dead on the money and sometimes they miss. But I think like this is kind of like John Oliver Tonight, where they're putting both the flaws that are obvious and not so. But because it itself is kind of like Rotten Tomatoes, it's got its own following. It's like, so when this comes out, like everybody's really paying attention to it because everyone's kind of waiting for it. It's almost like the finale of each season of The Walking Dead. Like everybody's on edge, can't wait, you know, what's it going to be? And then the reactions kind of become the spectacle. You know, it's one of those things where, as I've been in this fandom this long, it's the reactions that are almost the funnest part of it. It's like sometimes you're just like facepalming, like, oh my God, there's this one contingent of fans over here literally saying George Lucas blanked their childhood. They literally mean it right now. Oh my gosh, I cannot believe this. And yet you've got like fans like me that are freaking out because Mandalore is a desert. You know, like, what? Why? Why did you put it in a guidebook saying the whole planet? And yet, you know, it's not that big a deal. And yet, to each of us in our own way, it is.
well, and here's the thing about whether or not what is or isn't a big deal. The fundamental question you have to ask yourself, that we have to ask ourselves as Star Wars fans, is our experience as Star Wars fans defined by what we love about that galaxy far, far away, or is it defined by what we hate about that galaxy far, far away? Because there's something unique about Star Wars and how much people do love to pick it apart. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing in and of itself. The ability to critique and be very vocal about what you're passionate about in Star Wars, I think that's something that's actually helped it survive so long because people feel so strongly about it. And that's a healthy element of the longevity of the franchise.
And asked a question that just blew my mind, though. Kind of being defined by what we love or hate. And I mean, I think that to me specifically, like, it's a different angle than maybe for you, because like, I'm the big EU fan. You know, everybody knows that. I'm always going on about wanting Legends to continue and stuff. And yet, as an EU fan, right now especially, it's almost like we're defined by what we hate, because as an EU fan right now, the negativity that's come with certain aspects of it, it's almost like I have to prove that, you know, I love this and there's a reason to love it. And like, you have to show that there's a reason to love it, because right now the hate's overcoming it all. It's like, oh, there's bad stories in the EU. It was all junk. It was chaos. It was a mess. It was inaccessible. You couldn't access that at all. Like, and yet there was a lot of good to it. But when I think about my fandom and that specifically, because it's an alternate universe for me. So I've got a love for canon and a love for this. And yet I have to explain the good stuff of it because everybody just wants to dismiss it because of the few people that have made the negative so in our face.
Yeah, it goes both ways.
So in both directions, because I know as an EU fan, our arch rivals are the movies only critiques that always love just the films and everything else was just junk anyway. And I was like, oh, come on. There's a nice big fun place to play. Come play with me.
Exactly. Well, that's just a couple thoughts that I wanted to get out at the very front of the podcast. But man, there has been a lot of news, and let's get straight into our news segment. Well, right now
we have something to report.
The closer I have the news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
Clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
All right, Alden, our buddy Al, as I say. No, I don't think anyone calls him that. Our Alden Ehrenreich. You guys talked a little bit about it last week. There's one reason. Usually casting rumors, they come so frequently that they're not always worth bringing to the podcast itself. So Alden Ehrenreich, it looks like he's the front runner to be Han Solo, like you guys talked about last night. But I wanted to tell you about him and Hail Caesar, because this dude chews up the scenery. He plays, of course, Hail Caesar's a super short version is that it's George Clooney playing an actor in old Hollywood trying to make a movie about Caesar. So it's kind of a wink at the camera type movie, a movie set in old Hollywood about old Hollywood. And it's really fun and funny to watch, especially if you grew up watching big old Hollywood movies like Ben-Hur or something like that. But the real fun part that with this casting rumor is that he just has one sequence where he plays like an old Hollywood Roy Rogers, Gene Autry, Lone Ranger cowboy type in a movie. And so he's playing an actor, and he's playing an actor who is normally playing those types of roles who they try to cast in a serious drama. So there's a great sequence in the movie where he's essentially trying to repeat the following line. And again, this is how you know this is a great scene and a great moment, because the director is trying to get Alden's character in the movie to pronounce the following line: "Would that it were so simple." And of course, when the hillbilly hick cowboy actor attempts to be serious in this drama, he says, "Would that it were so simple." And so, like, there's a great sequence back and forth. But what's funny is that that accent is absolutely nothing like you would imagine Han Solo. Han Solo is not a simple hillbilly. Han Solo is a suave smuggler. But what's funny about Alden Emmerich is that he would be the absolute perfect Han Solo, because you literally believe every single moment and every single line. You really do believe he's honestly trying so hard to say the line, "Would that it were so simple." and it's just this, and it's a rare scene in movies in general, in that it lasts like 5 minutes. It's like this one beat joke, and it just keeps getting more and more awkward and more hilarious. You keep thinking they're going to cut away, and they don't. So he has a sort of shine to him that I think would really work. And then of course he fits the bill in terms of looks. I think that could definitely be a thing. So I just wanted to give that like little personal impression of him, because I know you guys had talked about him a little bit last week.
Well, yeah, neither one of us really had any reference for him. I mean, I knew I'd recognized his face from somewhere, and when I finally saw Supernatural at the bottom of his IMDb, I'm like, oh, okay, because I was just like, I don't know any of these movies. Granted, I am working at the theater now, and I have walked in on Hail Caesar while it was playing a few times. So I was like, well, maybe, but no, I was looking at a few clips, and I'm like, no, I don't remember him in that movie. So clearly when I came in, it was during all the set scenes where Clooney was all dressed up like Caesar, because that's all I remember from it.
Yeah, no, it's a good movie, but not necessarily directly related to Star Wars, but I will certainly be in the camp of 100% approval if they decide to cast him as Han Solo. Now, Rian Johnson is a tumbling, as he is wont to do. I feel like he's done this a few times, where he has posted updates. He's posted updates on his Tumblr page about the production of Episode 8. And he's back once again, posting some pictures from the set, marking the halfway point of filming. Can you believe this, Mark? They're already halfway through. This is amazing. They're already halfway through filming Episode 8.
And that just boggles my mind just in and of itself.
I know. And he does these kind of cool retro-style black and white photos. One is of an X-Wing cockpit, and you see a pilot hanging out back there and a camera in the forefront. And below that, they did what looks like a Imperial First Order control center, looking very reminiscent to the type of control center you would see on
the
bridge.
The control center looks cool.
Yeah, it reminds you of what you saw on the original Death Star.
The gunner pilot's helmet, not so cool. That thing looks like it's ready to take off the guy's shoulders.
Is that a gunner? I guess it might be like a First Order type gunner.
It's a weird design. Does that not look like the old classic UFO?
It does. It does, very much so. It looks like he's got a giant black UFO on his head.
Heck is that?
But what he's highlighting here is, as kind of a joke, I assume, he's highlighting the microfiber sham guys. So the people who are cleaning off and wiping down the sets with these microfiber shams, to get everything shiny and perfect. I thought it was kind of a funny joke, because you see the two gentlemen in each of these settings. One's wiping down the windshield of the X-Wing, and the other one's wiping down the control center, which I just think is great.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. There's not a lot to parse from these photos, certainly about the plot of the film. In fact, I think we're gonna have to move it. We're gonna talk about Mads Mikkelsen.
I got to talk about this, though. This is the first time I have ever noticed, and I don't know if this is new to the design, but the feet holes in the side of the X-Wing.
Mm-hmm.
Because Luke had that weird ladder, and I was always like, well, how is he getting into the X-Wing when the X-Wing's been pulled out? He doesn't have the ladder. We're not seeing him jump up. Now I'm like, were those always there? Because like that's pretty ingenious little addition.
Indeed. And I just shifted it towards the end of the show after our feedback segment. But we are going to talk about spoilers for Rogue One and Mads Mikkelsen's recent interview about his role in the film. But suffice to say, as far as the photos go, I mean, it is cool. You get to see a little bit more about the X-Wing. You see the Resistance, I guess. I keep wanting to call them Rebels. It's gonna be a habit that's very hard to kill.
Really, they are Rebels. It's not wrong to call them Rebels, especially if you consider that the First Order has technically wiped out the New Republic. So, indeed, everybody's Rebels now.
What you do see about the shot... and again, it's nothing groundbreaking, but it's a well-lit, and it looks like they're shooting. I would assume, I mean, if you're shooting an X-Wing, and they've got the lighting rig over the pilot, and they've got the camera getting ready to roll, I'm assuming they're shooting B-roll of pilots in some sort of X-Wing battle. So, I mean, if nothing else, I guess we assume that there's an X-Wing battle. It's not, I guess it's probably not much of a spoiler. And what you also see is this is definitely at Pinewood Studios, which means that it's either from a couple weeks ago, when they were filming there, or they've returned to Pinewood Studios to film, because of course we know they've been busy in Croatia and a few other locations. And you see it because, and the reason I know this is that you see the giant green screen on the background with the space markers, and what those are designed for, Mark, in this shot, is for crane shots. So essentially, if you want a sweeping shot around, like starting at the left tip of the wing, and you want the camera to swoop over the cockpit as it goes towards the right tip of the wing,
slick.
If you want that sort, you need a reference point in the background to help animate in the forced perspective whatever's happening in the background. And so that's what you're seeing here is this sort of giant camera mounted by crane. So you definitely know. You get a lot of those types of shots in... the pod race sequences, they did very similar things in episode one and very similar setups for the Attack of the Clones speeder chase in the beginning of the film. So that's, you know, fun little tidbit.
A lot of those in Rogue One as well because of the type of action.
Exactly. We can expect that a lot more. And I'll tell you what, also guess who's back on StarWars.com's YouTube channel? It's Mark Hamill. Take a listen.
Hey, how's it going? You know, this week, the top fundraiser will win two tickets to Star Wars Celebration in London, where you can meet me for an activity of your choosing. Whether you just want a selfie, we could create a secret personalized handshake, or we could take a long walk on the beach, visit a chocolate factory, or just put back a couple of shots of vitamin D Vegemin. Anything else that comes to mind is...
By the way, the subtitler saying Mark Hamill will not take a walk with you. Mark Hamill will not visit a chocolate factory. and then we have
anything else that comes to mind as long as it's legal and within the boundaries of good taste.
Okay, fair enough, Mark Hamill. And so this is your chance to contribute to Force for Change and enter for a chance to win tickets, two tickets to Star Wars Celebration. We'll include the links to enter as Force for Change kicks into high gear once again for episode 8. And again, it's really cool to see the actors back and promoting Force for Change. I really love this whole initiative. It really does, I think, help shine a positive light on an otherwise very secretive production. And I think that just beyond just goodwill, you know, they're actually serious about making a positive difference, which I really like that fact. Mark, let me ask you, what's your overall impression of Force for Change? Because here's the interesting thing. I saw a post somewhere on social media, and it was of the opinion of, man, they've made, you know, so many billions of dollars already with Star Wars. Isn't asking for money from fans to donate to charity kind of cheap when they could just be donating big chunks themselves? Mark, do you think, is this a pure publicity ploy? Should they be putting their money where their mouth is and saying, hey, we're going to match donations up to a certain point or something like that? Or is that too negative? What is your thought on Force for Change?
Well, like, I think Force for Change is a great contribution to our society, to our world. Now, as for Disney matching or, you know, Lucasfilm matching or whomever, you know, they're whoever the people are upset about matching, that's great. Like, I think that would be awesome if they wanted to do something like that. But I don't think that they should have to be forced into it because some people think that, well, hey, just because you're making a lot of money, why should we do it? It's not about who's doing it. It's about doing something positive for the people in your universe, man.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's
absolutely
the thing. You know, if the corporations want to get involved and throw money and match, you know, woohoo, you know, let's bust out the little ribbons and start cheering. But I don't think we can expect them to. And I don't think we should shame them into it because they do have the money. But I don't think we need to blackmail them into it or anything like that. Shaming, I think, will work. You know, hey, if you really feel like, you know, shame on them for not doing it, put that pressure on them. But I don't think that at the end of the day, they have to do it.
Well, here's the thing is, Mark Hamill's been highly involved in charities for a long time. He's coordinated stuff with the 501st before. So this fits with him. This is not opportunism, I don't think, by any stretch. And honestly, what works with the Force for Change is that it's versatile. It's like an umbrella term, but they are like different actors are contributing to different charities. And then Force for Change is the umbrella marketing campaign. And I think that, honestly, I don't have any problem with it at all. And I think... And it's not that anyone would have a problem. As far as like ways it could be done better, honestly, this is the biggest charity initiative of any modern film studio ever. Like, I can't think of a single possible comparison. And the fact that they put this together, and J.J. Abrams talked about this on the bonus material for the Blu-ray, the fact that they put this together on fairly short notice and made it such a huge, huge ordeal is amazing. And the only thing I think that would be one step better is do a little bit more publicity around what they're doing with the charitable funds, because there's a great feature on what they're doing with these funds in the Blu-ray itself. If you watch that bonus feature, what they should do is really get the word out about that on the YouTube channel, on Twitter, and on Facebook, so that you really see the difference that Star Wars fans are making, because we're all Star Wars fans. We've been in this community for a long time, and we know what organizations like the 501st are doing. And I think that we need to shine a light on what this fan community is doing even more than we already are. And I think this has certainly gone a long way to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you think about the fact that most people are getting tax breaks on these type of donations anyway. So it's like the more they give, you know, they get a break as well. I think the hardest part is when people are already scraping by and they're having a hard time making those donations. You know, I mean, I just think, I don't know. It's hard for me to understand why someone would be so mad at these places that, yeah, they got a successful amount of money, but why get upset about it when you're, you know, the point isn't about, you know, who's throwing in the most amount of money. It's about lending a hand and
exactly,
you know, collectively raising money. I mean, get those places to say that they will match, like, hey, you know, that's cool, but I don't know if anyone's been able to do that yet, but I'm just saying, somebody wants to try.
Exactly. Well, and it kind of, you know, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the episode, and what defining your fan experience by what you love and not what you dislike. So I definitely is the case. And again, we'll put the link in the show notes for you to contribute and get your own chance to meet Mark Hamill out at Celebration Europe. Mark, wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be cool?
I got to meet Mark at the last Celebration, and it is pretty cool.
He's just the best. Mark Hamill's the best. You know who else is the best? Daisy Ridley. Because, good grief, she is intimidating. Is it possible to be like so talented, beautiful, and terrifying all at the same time? Yes, it is. Daisy Ridley... normally you don't highlight an Instagram post here on the Star Wars Report podcast. This is one worth highlighting. Okay. I'm watching it now.
Okay, ready?
Let me turn it up.
Action.
Here she goes. Training. Whirling around the lightsaber. She's got some flair and finishes off with the flare, too. Daisy Ridley is getting ready for stunts, and she's doing she's training with, and I'll give the credit where credit's due, the stunt coordinator and master of the art of wushu, at Lingen, that's Lingen Stunts, who is on Instagram as well, and he's coordinating stuff for The Force Awakens, and you can follow his Instagram there as well. But she's training for. Here's what I find so exciting. Yes, it's cool to see Daisy Ridley. She's training for Episode 8. It looks in fantastic shape. It looks like there are going to be some awesome battles. You know what else this Instagram picture tells us, Mark?
And she's going to have some skills.
Mm-hmm. What type of skills? Let's take a look at this. Click through that link and just tell me like a little bit about what she says in the old caption there.
All right, now I got to scroll back up. for me, when I look at it and watch how fast she's going, I'm just thinking, wow, mm-hmm. like, you know, how many days of her training with Luke has this been? Because, you know, Luke at mm-hmm. this point could barely hold off a little, you know, blaster bolt, and she's zinging through it.
Luke was like barely lifting a rock.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I saw my friends.
Oh, I don't know what you did.
Well, there's one key word here, and that is Wushu freaking master. I always try to get him to teach me things, and this was today. Ob's not great, but he's amazing, and he's also featured at the end. Our stunt team are the most incredible group of people. So lucky I get to train with them. Wushu! That's Ray Park, Master of Wushu, the exact martial arts style that was modeled for the dueling in Episode 1. Are we going to get a more mastered, fast-paced lightsaber battle a la the prequels?
Well, let's look at my earlier comment. Let's look at that. I mean, Luke, when he first started out, he was, you know, he was doing the lightsaber techniques that we saw when those movies were filmed, you know, the two-handed, one-handed little stuff. Then the prequels come out and we see, holy cow, look what these trained Jedi can do. Mm-hmm. Luke now has to elevate his game when it comes to lightsaber training. He is gonna have to get Daisy up to speed in a way Obi-Wan never got Luke to speed. And so, you know, you think about the fact that the filming side of things, the stunning and all that stuff has come so far from where the original trilogy was. It has to be a level of prequel trilogy acrobatics involved and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, having it be that style, I think that's a brilliant move on their part. They're going to have Luke. I mean, whether or not we're seeing Luke do this stuff, but he's got to train Daisy to, you know, that level. He's got to get Rey there. And I just, man, that's cool. I can't wait to see her moving that fast with an actual glowing lightsaber instead of a stick.
And so this stunt guy, by the way, has posted about 6 days ago. In what looks like a fairly similar environment, training along for what I'm assuming is Episode 8. That's pretty cool. And of course, it's the guy who played Traitor.
Traitor!
Yeah. T-R-8-R. The traitor trooper, not the traitor, but the guy who called the trooper the traitor. Did I say the trooper that called the traitor trooper traitor?
The guy that called Finn out, man.
How many traitors were there a trooper traitor traitor if a traitor trooper traitor trooper trait?
Were they the traitor on the trooper traitor trading?
Exactly. It was right there. I couldn't help it. And finally, let's take a look. It's a Lego Star Wars returning with the Freemaker family. Let's take a listen with a brand new Star Wars Lego special. Here we go.
Who's ready for the bargain of a lifetime? So how about it, big guy? This is a nice comedy battle.
I'm Vanessa Lenges, and I play Cordy. Cordy is the sister of Xander and Rowan. She's a little bit of a tomboy. She's really tough. She's really brave. She can talk herself in and out of almost anything, which is super good because her brothers get her into a lot of trouble, and she is the brains of the operation.
So there we go. It's the Freemaker Adventures. Lego Star Wars, the Freemaker Adventures. We've got the Freemaker family. This is your thing. Listen, I hear you. Here's what you're thinking.
Series? How did I miss that part? I thought this was just going to be like a little special. I didn't realize it's going to be a series.
No, it's set to debut on Disney XD June 20th. And so here's what's interesting about it. They just released this sort of behind the scenes cast interviews announcement. It's set between Empire and Jedi, and it's basically Lego Star Wars comedy with the Freemakers. And you think, you know, it's a family of scavengers. They operate a salvage repair shop in space. This is designed for kids. Guys, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. And you're like, this is the...
I'm thinking, this is dangerous, man. This is really dangerous, is what I'm thinking.
Exactly. Well, here's the real deal. There's all kinds of cool characters. I'm not going to play the whole video. We'll keep the link in the show notes for episode 220 here on the podcast. But there's one character that I feel like needs to be highlighted. Right here.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Roger!
What? I'm baking cookies.
Hi, I'm Matthew Wood. I play the voice of Roger the Battle Droid.
Yes! Yes! Your prayers have been answered, Star Wars fans. You're welcome. Roger the Battle Droid is here, and he's here to stay. And this is the best thing ever, because this is Battle Droids doing what Battle Droids should on the programming that Battle Droids belong with, a Lego Star Wars special. I think these things are hilarious, awesome, and it's essentially Robot Chicken with Lego. And the fact that there's a Roger the Battle Droid who's baking cookies for the Freemaker family in a special set between Empire and Jedi, this thing's the best. I will totally be watching this. I feel like, in fact, this might be the weekly Patreon bonus commentary here on out, the second this thing starts airing.
That could even be. See, I say this is dangerous because, you know, we cast everything that was the EU aside and made it Legends because we were going to make everything canon. And all these Lego shows are coming out, and they're clearly...
Yeah, I know what you're going to say, Mark. I know what you're going to say.
I'm like, where does this fit? And they're telling us where it fits, and I'm just like, wait, so if this Lego movie counts as canon... Well, dude, there's got to be some clarification because people. No,
you know what, now, Mark? I pray.
I am okay with it 100%. But
I pray to the great
level as Rebels. I'm like, oh my god, I'm so nervous right now. Fans are gonna blow up and melt.
I pray to the great Lego deity, Roger the Battle Droid, that there is absolutely no commentary one way or the other on whether or not these things are canon, because it really doesn't matter. It's just a Lego special. Like, nobody...
It's a Lego special, but I fear that there's going to be someone out there that's going to be like, it's canon, and no one's going to say anything, and they're going to start rolling with it, and then somebody, well, Pablo will be like, so it's canon now, and then everybody's going like, Pablo tweeted it, that's why it's... You saw what he said! It's like, man, sarcasm, folks, sarcasm. Like, I worry.
It's like the planet. Remember when they made the planet Stewjohn canon? That's the best thing ever.
Yes, yes. And it
but
is.
But that was funny. It was worth it. See, it was great.
And we rolled with it. And Obi-Wan now came from there.
Indeed.
Ah, yes. And that's why Rajar is our Bothan pick this week. And speaking of picks, we have the Boba's Bounty.
You're listening to the Star Wars Report. Many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
Thanks, Mark. It is time for the Boba's Bounty segment. Each and every week, we like to take a look at something we've watched, read, consumed, participated in, seen, observed, or otherwise breathed in the realm of Star Wars. And I have a very special recommendation for you guys this week, and that is Dagobah. How would you like to relax and sleep? Lie your head peacefully upon your pillow at night, knowing that you are surrounded with the warm and comforting sounds of Dagobah. Here's the thing, folks. If you're like me, you have put around Christmas time the looping 9-hour YouTube video of a campfire on your HDTV just to get yourself in the spirit. Well, don't get yourself in the holiday spirit. Get yourself in the Yoda spirit with this brand new 94-minute YouTube video that is literally just the static establishing shot on Dagobah from Empire Strikes Back of Yoda's hut with the sounds of that swampy planet. Just take a quick listen, folks. This is a little bit of what you're going to hear. Are you not already relaxing? It's your own noisemaker and environmental video. So relax.
Never sleep again, man.
Relaxed you are. Come, sleep you will. That kind of sounds really creepy. It took off in a creepy direction. But if you want your own, if you want to bookmark your own way to hang out in Dagobah throughout the day, you can do so for the show notes of the Star Wars Report podcast episode number 220. Mark, what do you got for us this week?
Man, for me, it was the Star Wars The Force Awakens digital content. I've been playing that up on my phone, but unfortunately...
Nice.
Fucked up my minutes. You'll want to be attached to the Wi-Fi.
Uh-oh.
I was impressed with the quality of it. I mean, you know, I'm looking at it on my phone, and I'm just like, wow, like, things are popping out that I didn't even notice when I was watching it on the HD version. I'm like, man, I didn't know they could stream this good. Why, Netflix? Why do you let me down so often and so regularly?
Yeah, no, that's... I haven't yet to put it in the code and watch the digital version. I've only been using the physical Blu-ray, so I'll have to do that soon.
I've been having it playing in the background. You know, I've got what was great was I kept the Blu-ray in my bedroom. It's playing on that loop. And when we went to the lava beds, we have a DVD player in the Durango, so that was playing. I called it the in-flight movie, and which was great, by the way, because my son had other scouts that had never seen it. And so they're like breaking it down for him. Like, wait, but what about, and this one kid, Zane, he's the new scout. And he's like, but what about Layla? Like Princess Layla, like how is she related to Darth Vader? And they're like, it's her dad. Like, no, that's Luke's dad. It's her sister. And it's his brother. Like, oh, it was great. Like they were just breaking it all down.
That's funny.
Then Darth Vader became this and he did that. And I'm like, oh my God, I love you so much, son. Right now you're making me so proud.
That's awesome.
I've got like playing here, there and everywhere. And I noticed that like, it's already become that, like, you know, that new chi kind of thing. Like, you know, you've got Dagobah playing in the background. I've got the film. I was quoting it as we were driving down the road. You know, I knew what line was coming. I'm like, this feels good.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's so cool to have it available on our homes and on our digital devices. And I, like I said, I need to punch in the codes and actually get it available on my phone so that I can throw it on here and there, here, there, and everywhere. Let's get into y'all's feedback a little bit. Feedback, it's brought to you by everyone who is actually getting the word out about the show. I want to take a moment to remind you guys, if you're enjoying the podcast, make sure that you leave us a rating and review on the iTunes store. It really helps get the word out about the show. And you can do so by going to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. That's StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. And just leave a rating or review. It really helps get the word out. And even if you're not an iTunes user, well, you can either get an account or, hey, just email a friend and say, hey, you like Star Wars. Have you heard of this Star Wars Report podcast? Well, that's a good way to get out the word. Let's get straight into our feedback. We've got an email here from Jorge. Jorge from Mexico, longtime listener, and said, this is the first time I've written. Besides loving Star Wars, I am and was an aficionado, film aficionado, watching close to 200 movies every year. Wow, that's amazing. Going to movies down here is not as expensive. In Westlake, Ohio, or Manhattan, New York, I've paid $14 for a 2D movie. I hear your pain, Jorge. I hear your pain. But here it's just $9 for 3D, which is pretty good. Anyway, he says, my email's for Mark. Mark, you ready?
Yeah.
I believe The Last King of Scotland is a great option for seeing the thespian qualities of one Mr. Forrest Whitaker. The Butler might be popular, but it's not a great movie. Keep up the good work, guys. Jorge. So, Mark, you weren't buying into the whole Whitaker hype. The Forrest friend.
Understanding though, yeah. Like I've saw some great memes that, you know, like talked about how he can be both happy and sad at the same time, kind of like how they did that with Harrison Ford. But I've heard a lot about The Last King of Scotland, and I heard that that's in a lot of ways, or an easy quick references. It's Leonardo DiCaprio in The Revenant kind of thing. But I don't know, man, like I'll definitely have to check it out because I've heard so many people talk about how great his performance is. And I've heard that that's a really good movie. And I know that it's not less than 5 years old. Like,
I've not seen The Last King of Scotland, but, I assume that's a good choice because like Forrest Whitaker is an amazing actor and he is, you know, top tier. And that's always kind of cool to see. There wasn't really top tier talent for The Force Awakens other than just the returning characters. So that it's kind of cool to have that kind of again, thespian presence. I'll give you a moment, Mark, because I think you're going to have to cue up a piece of audio for our next segment. This is your warning. But while you do that, I just want to remind you that even if, Mark, you haven't caught the forest frenzy, the Whitaker wackiness, that's close enough, the Whitaker hype, I think if nothing else, it just describes how serious they are about capturing top-tier talent for these films, which is very much in the vein of Disney, because let's all remember, they like to get their top-tier A-list actors for their silly superhero movies, even if it's in secondary roles, whether it's Robert Redford in Ant-Man, or whether it's, or maybe I'm thinking of The Winter Soldier, but regardless, or whether or not it's in Guardians of the Galaxy getting Helen Mirren. They like to get their top-tier actors, so they're continuing that Marvel tradition here in the world of Star Wars. Mark, let's do a quick spoiler.
Oh, definitely.
We've analyzed their attack, sir, and there are spoilers. Should I have your ship standing by?
Evacuate? In our moment of triumph? I think you overestimate their chances.
Let's get the hell out of here!
Exactly. What's funny? I can't help but listen to that piece of audio and be reminded when I recorded that. I recorded that piece of audio within the first month or two of podcasting ever. That goes way back. Like, you can literally hear, like, I have no mic technique or presence at all. That is hilarious. We should totally keep it. I'm not going to re-record that. I don't even have that piece of audio. I don't know how you still have that, Mark. That's amazing.
We use it every time on Beyond the Films. That's our spoiler warning.
Nice. That's hilarious.
We need to jump out. We've been using it all this time.
That's hilarious. All right, so let's take a listen. Mads Mikkelsen was on Sky News, and he confirms part of an earlier report from our friends over at Making Star Wars about the role that he is playing as the villain of Rogue One. Let's take a quick listen.
Star Wars film that comes in between 7 and 8. And Doctor Strange, starring Benedict.
Which should we do first? Let's do Star Wars first.
Let's do that one. And I can say absolutely nothing about it. Forgery of Imperial. I can, but then I'll have to kill you and all the audiences.
I think it might be worth it.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah. Go on, tell us a little bit. Jesus, tell us.
It's the very first one. It's before anything you've ever seen in the Star Wars universe. And I guess
we've got some clips as we're looking.
Okay, let's have a look. Is that the one?
Yeah.
I rebel.
Yes, that's
it. Looks pretty dramatic.
It is very dramatic, Star Wars, yeah. And
how did you feel when you were approached?
A little scared. I mean, I wasn't really sure whether I was wearing a Stormtrooper outfit or anything like that at that point.
Okay.
And I wasn't sure I could fit into that. I read the script. It was very beautiful. And Felicitas playing this lovely, young and strong woman. I play her father. And
no!
And I play her father. What's so great? There's so many great things about this audio. Take a quick listen to his confession once more. Hang on, I gotta backtrack a little bit here on the video. Listen to this.
This lovely, young and strong woman, I play her father.
I play her father. Woo! Woo! Spoiler! Woo! That's what it sounds like. It sounds like the trailer alarm is saying, stop listening. What's so tragic about this audio is that he's so obviously trying so hard, and the Sky News reporter knows exactly what she's doing. She like just tries to like, well, since you're not going to talk about it at all, let's talk about it, right? We'll just talk about like, what was it like when you were cast? And then he slips in and slips up.
Whoopsie!
Slips in and slips up. So is there going to be an I am your father moment in Rogue One? Well, it sounds like yes.
No.
And in fact, I did not read the full Making Star Wars report because I don't want to know the full plot details, but it seems like he has let the cat out of the bag.
Well, see, I don't think it's going to be an I am your father moment. I think what you're going to see is the rebellion going, oh, so, you know, your dad, we're kind of aware that he's a top imperial official and, you know, you kind of got premium access to him. We want you to go in and kill him.
And maybe it's like she's rejected him. Like she's.
I think they're going to send her in to assassinate her dad. And then it becomes a question of where does her loyalties lie?
Mm hmm. So that would be interesting.
They're in that costume with Whitaker saying, "What will you become?" And
well, remember in Star Trek Into Darkness,
on her, man, I'm like, "Woo!"
Which it's mild spoilers, I guess, for Into Darkness, which is 5 years old. Remember when the what's her face? I'm so terrible with names, but the blonde character.
Kirk's wife from the original universe.
Exactly, and then and her father,
Dr. Marcus.
Exactly, and she finds herself on the ship opposite, and she's saying, "I'm not going to get off. You're going to have to blow me up with the ship." And the father has to make that choice, and that's when you truly know he's a villain because he's willing to kill his own daughter just to take out our heroes. So like that, I could see that kind of drama. That is very Star Warsy, to be honest. So, you know, I could see that working.
Imperial look. And he was talking about, you know, stormtrooper armor. Now, granted, I don't necessarily know if he's going to be doing something like that, but I could see that's your angle here. I mean, clearly he's probably ISB in the Imperial Security Bureau. And that's the angle they're coming from. He's probably got the plans and they need her to get close.
Absolutely. 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 You hear that sound, Mr. Herleman?
Sounds like a train coming in the distance.
It sounds like the end of this episode. Oh no.
Falcon coming in? It's coming in hot.
It is indeed. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Another episode of the Star Wars Report podcast is in the books. Man, it's been a fun week. Good week, Mark. And again, thanks so much for holding down the fort last week. Much appreciated, man. And seriously, thanks, Jorge, for emailing us. And again, thank you to all of our fine supporters who are supporting us at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Catch our ongoing weekly Rebels commentary series there, as well as that's how you can get your own Star Wars Report t-shirt. That's how you can get there and participate in our monthly patron exclusive Google Hangout. All kinds of goodies. Just check them out. It's over at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. And we thank you guys for supporting the show. Seriously, thanks. It's been an amazing run, and now Patreon almost a year old, Mark. We're right at the 1 year mark. It's amazing.
That is amazing
that we've been, and it's been so successful. Man, I can't believe it. And seriously, thanks to everybody who tuned in live, Jeremy and I feel like I should have the thing, Jeremy and Woo and everyone else in the live community. You can join us also there, StarWarsReport.com/live, each and every Friday evening, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Friday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join the community of folks and tuning in as we record each week's program live. Also, you can follow me. I'm on Twitter. It's at The Riley Guy, R-I-L-E-Y, The Riley Guy. I'm also that same username on Snapchat. You can catch up with me there. Same thing for Instagram. Mark, however, can be found at IllogicalRogue2. IllogicalRogue2. This is Rogue2.
Yeah.
On Twitter as well. Email us, like Jorge did, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. You can also email us, you can find us, rather, on Facebook, facebook.com/StarWarsReport, and twitter.com/StarWarsReport to follow us on Twitter. And again, if you'd like to leave some feedback and get the word out about the show, head over to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. If you want to follow Riley's escapades and some personal blogs and stuff like that, as well as my ongoing weekly political podcast, if that's the kind of thing that floats your boat with Scott Rifen, you can go to RileyBlanton.com. And catch up with the goings on there as well. Mark, any final thoughts for us before we get ready to roll out? Do, 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 do. Mr. Herleman, your microphone is muted.
That is the case. I've been doing that a lot. Now that I've got the mixer hooked up.
I know. It's a No worries. Seriously, man. Thanks for joining me each and every week. It's always an absolute blast.
Yeah, I was just going to say, go out, everybody, and get some micro machines. They're fun.
Do it. And cue up the Dagobah video. All right, we'll catch you guys.
Next thing into the swamp.
We'll catch you guys next week. We got a special guest, Dan Zare from Coffee with Kenobi, joining us next week. So that's going to be a good time. We'll catch you then. May the Force be with you. And many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. Hey, that's all, folks.